Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino back with you for another Survivor Exit Interview podcast. Today, we're going to talk to the man who was blindsided in last night's Wild Tribal Council. That would be Jack Nicktang, going to talk to us about his game and how that blindside unfolded from his perspective last night and much more in our Exit Interview podcast. Last night on the podcast, we had a real treat. Rick Devins filled in for Stephen Fishback on the Survivor Know-It-Alls, had a lengthy conversation about everything that was going on. A supersized edition of the Survivor Know-It-Alls last night with Rick Devins. Now, today, we are also in for a treat because I'm going to talk with the great Chaos Cass McEwen. Really excited for this one. Very pumped up to talk to Cass. And then over the weekend on our feedback show, we're going to talk with Sierra Easton, two people from Survivor Second Chance this week. And so Sierra is going to be a guest with the feedback show. First time I'm ever talking to Sierra one-on-one outside of the exit interview. The other times that she's been on the podcast, I think we had Laura and Sierra together. But this is just going to be Sierra coming up on Saturday. So looking forward to that one. Get your feedback questions in. robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Of course, you can email questions in survivor@robiswebsite.com as well. Before we get to Jack, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the Exit Interview Podcast, and those are our friends over at Rothy's. Have you heard about Rothy's? They're the company that's making stylish shoes for women and girls out of recycled plastic water bottles, and they're crazy comfortable and machine washable. They sent Nicole a pair of Rothy's to try them out, and she is a big fan of these flats. They're the perfect everyday shoe for life on the go. Stylish and comfortable. They go with everything from yoga pants to dresses and skirts. They come in a changing array of colors, and they're available in a range of styles like sneakers, loafers, points, and more. And the Rothy's are seamlessly knit using thread made from plastic water bottles, so they're ultra comfortable as soon as you slip them on. That's right, there's no break-in period with these shoes, and it's going to blow your mind that they're made from repurposed plastic water bottles. In fact, Rothy's has diverted over 35 million water bottles from landfills already. Rothy's owns and operates their manufacturing workshop where they prioritize sustainability every step of the way, plus Rothy's ships directly in the shoebox with no unnecessary packaging. They're the feel-good flats in more ways than one. So check out the amazing styles available right now at Rothy's.com/Rob. That's Rothy's.com, Rothy's.com/Rob to get your new favorite flats, comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head on over to Rothy's.com/Rob today. All right, we've got Jack on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Jack, are you there?
What's up, Rob?
Hey, Jack, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, Jack. I want to talk about this tribal council from last night because I was stunned. I suspect that you were too. How shocked were you that those two votes came up for you?
Yeah, so the first vote being Dean's vote, I had like an inkling after Dean played his idol that I was like, shoot, this could maybe come for me. But as soon as I saw the second vote, that was the big slap in the face because that meant, wow, one of the six people that I thought I was really close with, those six being Chris, Nora, Janet, Kelly, and Jamal. So I guess five people. Mm-hmm. One of them betrayed me. And it's funny, as I walked away, my gut immediately said, I know that it was Kelly.
Okay. All right. And then you knew that Dean had also turned on you as well, because it seemed like that you had a good relationship with Dean, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we were buddies. We kind of bonded over being like the younger dudes. But that being said, like, I've been lying to him the entire time, right? Like, I didn't realize how much he believed that we were actually going to vote for Nora. I kind of thought he knew that he was going to go home and that we were just kind of being really nice to him, being like, hey, like, you know, we're going to vote Nora, and not saying to his face that we're actually going to send him home. So I kind of knew there was kind of some fakeness to our relationship. But that being said, we were definitely buddies. And I'm not surprised that he wrote my name down, because, again, I wrote his name down. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like one of those betrayed, right? Because I was like, yeah. I was trying to vote you out as well.
You don't want to be a hypocrite.
Absolutely. Like, I'll own it.
Okay. So were there any other plans that were talked about instead of everybody voting for Dean, like a plan to split the vote potentially?
Yeah, for sure. The day was crazy. One thing, and actually, so I was listening to Jason's podcast yesterday, and I have another like fun fact for you, because I know he talks about him dating for his cousin. And I forgot to bring this up in all the other interviews, but at the immunity challenge, one big hot topic amongst new Lyra was, should we throw the challenge, right?
Yes.
We have five of us. Then there's Karishma and Dean. We have now the new Vokai, or the old, yeah, new Vokai is down numbers. Like, should we just throw this and then not go, and go to tribal, vote off Karishma or vote off Dean, and go into the merge with like this squad? And Jamal and I were very against it, because the only way to guarantee that we're not going to go home is to not go to tribal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Kelly was kind of more into it. I think like she kind of empathized with the other tribe a little more. And during that final immunity challenge, you saw how close it was, right?
Yes.
Like, we lost by freaking 2 seconds. So Kelly actually tied her shoe while doing the puzzle for like 15 seconds. And so she had stopped working on the puzzle. And I saw that. And that's when I was jumping up and down. And I was like, Kelly, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And so when I got back to camp, I was like, hey, Jamal, like, this happened. What do you think about it? And so that kind of stirred the whole, like, hey, like, you know, should we split votes just in case? Like, should him and I deviate from the plan, not tell anyone, and throw two votes on a Nora, on a Karishma, or on a Kelly, just in case Dean does play an idol?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that we thought Kelly was going to betray us, but that kind of made us feel uneasy about going into the evening. And so the only deviation from voting all votes was Dean, was me and Jamal going to do our little own thing where we vote for one person, just in case Dean plays the idol. But that being said, we decided not to, because we kind of knew Dean did not have an idol, which he didn't, because he would have played it at the previous tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
And we were afraid to alienate Nora or alienate Krishna or alienate someone else right before the merge, because we didn't know what was actually happening on new Vokai. Those puppy dog eyes that they were giving us before each immunity challenge could have been just an act.
Yeah.
They were trying to make us throw challenges so we lose numbers, so when we go into the merge, they just pick us off one by one.
So would you say that you feel like that Kelly did throw the challenge, or it just so happened that she talked about potentially throwing the challenge and then also had the issue with her shoelace?
I do not think Kelly actually threw the challenge. I think Kelly, her shoe came untied, and she just was so focused on it that she just tied her shoe really fast and didn't think about it so much so in the moment.
Okay.
I don't think she intentionally threw the challenge to go to tribal to then play the idol to do all that jazz.
Okay. All right. Now, congratulations, Jack. You are the mayor of Ponderosa this season.
So freaking pumped about that.
Maybe a title that you didn't expect to have. How big of a shock was it when you found out that you were going to be on the jury?
A huge, huge shock. It took me a minute, right? So I got voted out, and I know Jeff said that, but I didn't really hear it. And so then I go off and I'm doing my final exit, and Joe was like, Jack, like, how about being on the jury? And I was like, oh my God, you're right. I'm on the jury. And that was like that big moment in my end where I'm like, I'm so pumped to be on the jury, because again, like, my big milestone was merge because of jury. Cause the jury is like what signifies, like, you know, making halfway through the game, you get to now be in the rest of the game, be a part of all the tribal councils, vote for the eventual winner. And so like, I didn't make the merge, right? But I made the jury. It's like the big milestone that I really, really wanted to make, I was able to do. So it's kind of like that, you know, that cherry on top of that typical situation, because I get to still be there. I get to be on Ponderosa. I get to see all the people as they get voted out, make them happy, try to cheer them up, and then go see what actually happens with my own mm-hmm. eyes, as opposed to through the lens of the camera or through word of mouth post the game.
Yeah, takes a little bit of the sting off. I know there's people that make the merge and not the jury, so you have the opposite of that. So nice experience to go to those tribal councils. Now, last week on the show, Jack, we had that very powerful conversation between you and Jamal, and that you said something that was not such a great thing to say, but you really did own the apology about that. Has there been a lot of blowback towards you, or what's been the reaction of the audience to you since that moment?
Yeah, the reaction's been, it's been interesting. It's very much so, it's been very, very positive. A lot of people are kind of commending me with how I responded and my eagerness to learn, which I appreciate, because I was very, very eager to learn. Of course, there's some people that are kind of being aggressive towards me, like with whether it's direct messages or just various stuff online. But the vast majority is very, very positive. But that being said, it was very interesting to watch that entire interaction from the lens of like the viewers, right? Because mm-hmm. I was there. I know myself. I think I am a very aware person, a very empathetic person, a very understanding person. Like, I think I get a lot of these conversations that exist. And so it was wild to see like that not come through in this specific scene. And I think that kind of shows just how complicated the scene is, right? Because Jamal and I, we were best friends since day two, right? We made a Final Four alliance right away. And then when Molly got voted out, we really, really bonded. And so this was genuinely a scene where I was trying to make a joke to a very close buddy of mine. It was not an appropriate joke to make, but I'm grateful that Jamal was, you know, not going to define me through that moment. Mm-hmm. And I hope that America also doesn't define me through that moment, because again, it was a very human moment where I made a mistake and I was able to learn from it and walk away like a better person, a more understanding person. And what was cool was that was also a moment that was not strategic, literally at all. That was a removal from the game where I was trying to ensure that me and Jamal remain very close friends, not allies.
Mm-hmm. Did the relationship between you and Jamal change at all? Did you become more close because of this, or were you less close because of that moment in the game?
I think, so we were already extremely close, but if anything, it brought us closer together. In no way did it pull us apart. Like, I think, well, I know during the conversation, I know Jamal mentioned, like, it's hard to have these conversations because it's such, like, a strategic social game. I was never concerned about losing Jamal as an ally because we were so ingrained with each other already.
So when Janet went to the Island of the Idols, she came back and, you know, everybody comes back with the same story of, yeah, I was going to do something, but I didn't want to do it. Was there any suspicion in terms of the story that Janet gave you guys?
No. So Janet, so this is one thing that I really, really wish was shown more in the show, was how close Janet and I were. Janet was very much so. So I'm very close to my mom in my real life. My mom is absolutely my rock. I talk to her every single day. And so on the island, like, Janet and I really, really bonded over how close I am to my mom. Like, I called Janet mom. She called me son. We spent so much time together, had so many beautiful conversations. I'm grateful for that bird extra scene because it kind of shows us interacting. Because besides that, there's not much of a relation between Janet and I. And even like at tribal council, when I get voted out, I give Janet my jacket. And then she, like, yeah, I give her my jacket as I'm walking out so she can have that to keep her warm, to kind of remind her of me. I was really hoping they were going to show that, but it wasn't shown, and that's totally fine. But her and I were so close, and she would not have lied to me. At least I don't think. And so when she came back, she told this story, and then she immediately pulled me and Jamal aside and said, hey, like, what I'm telling you is the truth. I'm not lying. You know, I had this game. I mean, she didn't tell us about Rob and Sandra, but she told us exactly what I saw on screen yesterday. And so it was really cool to kind of confirm how close her and I were in that moment.
Can you explain what the thinking was about the Women's Alliance in terms of where you guys were on the new Lyro tribe? Was there a lot of discussion that was overheard, or was that just Nora was putting out this idea of, hey, the women should end up working together, and that's why there was paranoia about a Women's Alliance?
Yeah, for sure. That was definitely what it was. So Jamal, Janet, Kelly, and I were very, very close on New Lyro. Every single night, we would all seven of us would go hang out on the beach and like watch the sunset, and then Nora, Krishma, and Dean would saunter off and go to bed, and then Kelly, Janet, Jamal, and I would stay up for hours talking about the game, figuring out what we wanted to do, because with the four of us, we had the majority. And so we were all super, super tight, and then through Janet and through Kelly, we hear about Nora, and then even through Dean, we hear about Nora talking about this Women's Alliance. But we were never truly concerned about it because we knew Janet wasn't about it. Like, Janet made it very clear in this episode and to us that she's not about to follow this all-woman thing because she wants everyone to work together. She doesn't care about women. She doesn't care about all men. She cares about men and women working together as a cohesive unit, like she said at her tribal, which was beautiful. So, like, although it was a thing, although it was Nora talking about that, we were never truly concerned about it happening because Janet was so incredibly opposed, and she was like our bridge to that conversation.
Okay. So what was it like living with Nora once you guys swapped to the new Lyro tribe?
Nora, right?
Yeah.
First of all, I love Nora. She is incredible. But it was, it's interesting. Like, we go to sleep, right? And then Nora turns on, and then we just start hearing all these funny, crazy stories about Nora's life, Nora's experiences. And, we didn't talk a ton of strategy, so I didn't see all these like plans that she was trying to make happen. So all I really got was like this very loud, very energetic, very health-centered person. And it was, I mean, it was just, I think, interesting. It sounds very vague, but it was just such an interesting experience to be able to be on this beach with Nora. So, I mean, like all 19 days I was in the game, I was with Nora. And that was pretty cool because I think in some interviews they talk, I think Molly mentioned how she opens coconuts all the time. This woman opens coconuts literally all the time. She is nonstop opening up coconuts. And so we always have like 15 coconuts hanging around the camp. And it's, I mean, it's great because we can always eat.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Nora, take a break. Let's slow down. We don't need this many coconuts. She goes, no, we all have to eat. And I looked super skinny. I didn't have much weight to lose when the game started. And I lost 12 pounds. And I looked skin and bones. And Nora was always funny because she'd always be like, Jack, you need more rice. I'm not going to be that guy that eats more rice. I'm not going to ever like really, you know, fall into that trap. Not that she was trying to save me, but she was truly looking after me. And I was like, Nora, no, I'm fine. She goes, we need to make more rice for Jack. And I'm like, no, no, no. She goes, Jack, you need more rice. I know all about health. You're struggling. You're starving. Have more food. And I'm like, no, Nora, please don't even talk about me. My name just doesn't exist right now. That's fine.
Yeah. And if you want to see Jack put some of the weight back on, check out the Ponderosa video. That the first of the Ponderosa videos are here. If you want to check out Jack's arrival at Ponderosa. There was also another secret scene this week where we got to see you in action with some of your hip hop R&B a cappella. Is it possible, Jack? Could you give the listeners a sample? Anything about your survivor experience that you want to share in a cappella with our listeners?
Oof, that's hard, right? Okay, let's think. I was hungry, I was sad when I left, but I got a big hamburger and some ice cream.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I apologize for putting you on the spot, but thank you for
you can auto tune that however you want. Just make it sound a little better than it was.
I'll leave that for the people on the wand off to be able to do something with that.
All right.
Jack, thank you very much for coming on. You're a lot of fun to talk to, and looking forward to seeing you on the jury all season.
Yeah, I'm excited to be for y'all to see how much weight I do gain back.
We'll watch. We'll see if you go past where you started from over the course of 23 days. So it'll be an interesting experiment.
Oh my goodness, dude. Can I tell you how much weight I gained?
I think it's a spoiler. I think it's a spoiler if you do. I'm not sure how. We're very sensitive. Okay.
We'll tread cautiously.
Okay. All right, Jack. Take care, buddy. Bye.
All right, man. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, I don't know. Could a survivor tell us how much weight they gain across the rest of the game? I know people are spoiler averse, so we'll just tread lightly and stay out of that. All right, so there you go. Jack Nicting. I thought that Jack, I really didn't have a lot of expectations going into the exit interview today, but I thought that Jack was actually very fun to talk about. I feel like that Mike from talking about going to the preseason, and I think Josh as well talked about that Jack was, you know, really fun to talk to, and you know, his energy really came through. I think that really came through on the exit interview today. So there you go. That's the mayor of Ponderosa for season 39, Jack Nicting. All right. We are going to get ready to talk to Chaos Cass here in just a little bit. I'm going to talk to her about an hour from when I'm recording this podcast. But one of the new segments that we launched last week was that I had said that I was going to check the Rob Has a Podcast ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts each week. And if you leave a review and tell me an impression that you would like to hear, I will read some of those here on the podcast. And so we have gotten a few new ones since last week. And so let me go ahead and give you a couple of reviews. Of course, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes to leave us your star ratings and your reviews. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast. All of those things help us rise in the podcast charts and then help more and more people find the show. This one is called, Can You Read This Review as Lil from Survivor Pearl Islands? And this is from Sassy Person, who writes,
I listen to Rob Has a Podcast every day, and I love it. But why can't Lil have a podcast? What about me? Why do you get to have all the fun? I'm a person, too, you know. I listen to recent episodes of Survivor, and they're not even showing previously on Survivor. They're showing flash forwards from the episode we're about to see. Why do they keep doing that? Why? Nobody wants to tell me. But I'm a good person. It's not fair. I'm going to leave you a 5-star review. Maybe now you can be nice to me instead of leaving me alone at the beach and not talking to me. Why can't I have frosted tips? Why can't I be on Mike Barassi's cooking show? What about what I want for once?
Okay, there you go. A lengthy Big Lil. Oh, there you go. All right. Yeah. All right. All right. This is RHAP is the best by Dave from Ohio. Rob, could you read this as Ken McNichol from Millennials versus Gen X?
I've been listening to RHAP since back in fall 2010, the first time Stephen Fishback was on to talk about Survivor Nicaragua. And I laughed so hard that Pepsi came out of my nose, whether it's Josh Wiggler or Akiva Winker or Sir Squiddington. There's something every week worth listening to. Thanks, Rob.
Okay, that's Dave from Ohio. All right, a couple more. Brian Alt says, not bollocks. Read as Penner.
This podcast is not bollocks. It's simply the best Survivor podcast around, and he didn't even have to cut the throat of the podcaster next to him to do it. We're ready to rock and roll, and this isn't rock and roll. It's a podcast, whatever that is.
Okay, all right. One more. Super duper fan. As Adam Klein. This podcast is required listening for any super duper fans of reality TV like me. Rob and company cover shows with humor, smart analysis. You'll love it so much that you'll make Rob part of your crew. That's a great callback to when I used to be in Adam Klein's crew on Ship. All right. So that's it. If you want to leave a review, go ahead. robiswebsite.com/iTunes. Your honest ratings and reviews are greatly appreciated over at robiswebsite.com/iTunes. And let us know what you'd want to hear next week. Looking like a double episode next week. So maybe we have a double episode here on the Exit Interview Podcast coming up next time. All right. I got Cass coming up and then Sierra Easton this weekend. Get your feedback questions in for Sierra recording that podcast on Saturday. Of course, thanks so much to the patrons of Rob as a Podcast who keep all this podcasting going on. Get access to our patron-only podcast feed and much more when you head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.